Over the last several weeks, I can't believe actually, this is the fourth week that we have been on our series, looking afresh about what does it mean to come back to the heart of worship. And so we've looked at the idea that worship is giving God our highest priority, switching from other things, other drivers, other things in our lives that are idols, switching over to Father God. And learning, I guess, in the course of our lives, just getting better at turning to God. You know, whether it's when we're stepping onto the train, whether it's into work, whether it's at work, just different times of our lives, of our days, learning to turn our hearts towards God. And also involving Him in the thoughts of our lives as well, and as you go through a day. And we've been learning that worship isn't just about what we do on a Sunday, but it's about a whole lifestyle. And so we also had a Sunday looking at work and giving honour to God in our workplace. Last week we looked at honouring God with our money and the way we can give with our time and our gifts, our talents, how all of us, every bit of our lives, become a sacrifice to God as our worship. And today I want us to look at knowing God's presence in our lives and experiencing God for ourselves. I think for me, I was around the age of 17 when I began to kind of get a sense that I guess I was getting to a point. I don't know about you, but I think that there are. Our lives are like a voyage with God. They're like a journey, and they set out often before we've actually made a commitment to God, before we've actually turned our lives over to God. God starts getting our attention. Maybe for you it was when you were young. It might have been when you were a young adult. Might be when you were a student. But God just began to get your attention. And there's times in our lives when we begin to realize that there is a God, and there's a God who knows me, and there's a God who loves me, and there's a God who wants a relationship with me. And we begin to turn our lives and over to God. But on the day that you first give your life to Jesus, that isn't the full total of us knowing God. Knowing God is a journey, is a voyage that we go on through the whole of our lives. And I think we can probably all look back to times that were just kind of like, call it a breakthrough point, call it a revelation, a realization point. It's an encounter moment in our lives where we know God to a greater degree. And sometimes that's actually connected to life stages, because we know that the kind of revelation that you have of God when you're 5 isn't enough to carry you into your adult years. You have to have a fresh encounter with God in each new era of life. So for me, I guess I was around about 17. I had given my life to Christ when I was 5. I had been filled with the Spirit and the Spirit's power when I was 13. Two dynamic events in my life that really turned things upside down for me, where God became significantly real to me. And yet, when I was about 17... moving in from teenage into adulthood, I had almost a fresh thing in me, like, God, this has now got to be real for me now. And God, I want to know you now as an old teenager, beginning adult, not just how I knew you when I was 13. And I guess I was beginning to have a dissatisfaction between kind of finding God in meetings and like these high points. You go away to a camp and you have this dynamic experience with God. Or on Sundays, you know, there's the band and it's all buzzing. You're there with your mates and, you know, God just feels in the house. But then I was like, but what about Monday morning? If this thing is true, it just can't be for a Sunday morning box. Knowing God and experiencing God has got to be real for me through the whole of my week. And so I began to find this dissatisfaction that started to hunt for me for reality and a first-hand experience of knowing God for myself. Just because my pastor knew God wasn't enough. I had to know God for myself. And it was really funny, Simon, who used to be our pastor and had a deep impact on many of our lives, he used to use this analogy of greyhound racing, that it was the first dog who saw that rabbit going around on that circuit. It was the first dog that had actually seen the rabbit. The rest of the dogs were just running because everyone else, or all the other dogs, were running. And he was like, have you had a revelation of the kingdom? Have you had your own revelation of God? Not just coming to church because everyone else is and it's what you do. Or as a young person, for me, just because my parents, you know, have a relationship with God, that wasn't enough for me. I had to discover God for myself. And I think, you know, you can just get running around after the rabbit and we can easily forget what is worship all about. I just come here and sing songs, but it's lost its freshness. It's lost. I've lost my first love. I've forgotten the reason of why I'm running around this track. And, you know, serving God, loving God is more than running around a track. But do you get what I mean? And I'm just running because it's what I just do. It's in the diary. I just turn up to church. And we want to say, no, God, it has to be for knowing why I do this. And so for me, I didn't want my worship to God to be dry. I wanted to know God authentically. It had to be real for me. It had to be true. It had to be real. And somehow I've got to know God for myself. And so for me, it began a pursuit of a journey that was to do with knowing God's presence in my own heart and my own life. And I remember I would come home from school and I would just take time in one of the rooms in our house. I'd shut the door, I wouldn't watch Neighbours, and I would just say, God, I'm here to find you. I'm here. And I had my clarinet, I had my Bible, we had cassette tapes back in those days, so I might have had a cassette tape of maybe some worship. But essentially, it was me and God, and we were going to find each other. And I have to say, over the first several weeks, I felt nothing, heard nothing. In fact, my prayers went to the ceiling and bounced down again. It's like, God, where are you? But over the weeks, as I continued to come back and search for God, I began to experience God for myself. And if you've got your Bibles or on your phones, turn with me to Exodus chapter 33, because this is one of the places that that really drew me and captured me afresh for knowing God for myself. And so we go to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12 to 18. And it's when Moses is having an encounter point in his life. It was a watershed moment for Moses when God said, I want you to lead this people up out of slavery into their promised land. And Moses was like, there's no way I can do this. I am just totally out of my depth here. And so what does he do? He turns to God and he has a conversation with God. And he's really real with God. And if you want to know God, a really good starting point is to start being real with him. Just being open and honest with your Heavenly Father. And so Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. One day, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. But if it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I might understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. So notice he said, I've heard you say to me that you know me by name and your favor is on me. But God, just hearing it, just intellectually knowing it, isn't enough. He's like, Lord, I need to know. I need to experience this. This has got to be real for me. Take me to another level on what I know up here that I can actually know it down here. Do you get what Moses is talking about? And then so he goes on to say,
And remember that this nation is your very own people. And the Lord replied this. He said, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Or in some of your translations, it says, my presence will go with you. I am going to go with you. And then he said, and he then went to say, if you don't personally go with us, Moses said, don't leave us and take us from this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on us? And the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you. And Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. And it was that phrase, Lord, show me your glory. And he was like, God, I want to know you. I want to see your glory. I want to behold you. I want to know you for myself. And so this was a path, a journey that I found myself going on. Say, God, I want to know your presence in my life. And God is to be closely known experienced. He isn't a cold God just a million galaxies away wherever God hangs out, but we're going to learn in these next moments that God wants a relationship with us and we can know and experience God. I just want us to watch this video clip for a couple of moments by a rabbi who in his exploration of going back to the Old Testament of this invitation of having a personal relationship with God. Just take a moment, a couple of moments on this.
David Aaron, and I was very excited to hear for the first time as I began my journey to my Torah roots, I was very happy to hear that the purpose of the universe is to experience the joy of the greatest goodness. And what could be the joy? What could be the greatest goodness? So when I think back to the moment that really captured the greatest good in my life, I recall myself lying in bed and my mother sitting beside me reading to me Winnie the Pooh. I must have been, I don't know, 18 years old. Just joking. Right? I was a little boy. And my mother's sitting beside me reading to me Winnie the Pooh. Now, my mother was a beautiful Yiddish mama. And so she actually didn't read to me Winnie the Pooh. She read to me Vinnie the Pooh. So I would go to school. I would talk about Vinnie. My friends thought he was a mafia leader. Whatever. Right? But what was so special? Why is that the greatest goodness? Because you know what my mother was doing? My mother moved everything out of her life, created this sacred space, put me in the center, condensed herself completely in that moment, and she gave herself over to me. She gave me the greatest gift anybody could ever hope to have, and that's called presence, to be there. And that is the greatest good. The Torah teaches that the greatest gift that God wants to give us is His presence. To feel God in our lives is the greatest gift we could ever hope for. But what does it mean to feel God in our lives? Well, Torah teaches us that to feel God in our lives is to feel the presence of life, the presence of truth, the presence of wisdom, the presence of compassion, what the Kabbalists call the Sefirot, the divine attributes. God is manifest through these values and visions. And when we feel the presence of divine values in our lives, then our lives are valuable. And that's the greatest goodness. The greatest goodness is to feel the presence of God in our lives.
Amen. Isn't that great? And so an awareness of the presence of God, I think, is one of the foundation stones of our spiritual life. To know the presence of God is one of the foundation stones of our spiritual life. And that's to know God with our mind, with our will, our heart, our body. Everything that we're about, God has got an ability to engage with, and we can engage with Him. Our minds, a revelation. You can experience God's presence as you're reading the scripture And suddenly one of those scriptures just booms out at you as like God speaking to you right then and there. And you're like filled with like, oh my goodness, God's present with me right in this moment. He's speaking to me. And it's we experience God in our mind, in our realization, our revelation, and in our heart. And our will, his voice speaks. He imparts values and attributes that begin to change the way we are, way we act. Our heart, God engages with us in a tangible sense of his spirit within us. And remember on the Emmaus Road, the disciples said, when Jesus had been walking with them and telling them about the Old Testament and about how he was revealed, when Jesus had left them, do you remember when they said, oh, that was Jesus? Didn't we just realize we had a glow inside our hearts? There was something in the presence of being with that man that just, we just sensed, we felt God. And there's that radiance, that sense of God's peace that we experience in our emotions. Also, our bodies can be involved in the act of worship and our relationship with God. Standing, raising hands, kneeling. You know, worship talks about, you know, spinning God with, you know, with dance and spinning around. And our whole bodies can be involved in our expression of our worship and our experience of God. And so we're reminded to think of, well, what is the glory of God? When Moses said, I want, Lord, show me your glory, he was talking about, as Rabbi David was mentioning, the attributes of God, that God is a personal God. He wants to reveal himself to me and to you. We're struck by the holiness of God, the set apartness, the purity, the majesty of God, where it's not matey God, it's almighty God. And we have that sense of reverence and awe of who our God is. And there are moments, sometimes in our worship, when all we can be is silent, because we're just beholding the majesty of our God. We can sometimes experience and know the mercy of God. The glory of God is represented in his justice, that God is a zealous and a passionate God. He doesn't want to share you with any other idol in his life. He longs for you and for us to be of an undivided heart towards him. Knowing God in his truthfulness, in his eternalness, his unchanging nature, his all-knowingness, his all-presentness, his all-powerfulness. We're struck by the fact that God is invisible. And that's difficult to our senses. But that's why we have to tune ourselves in to know that we can know God in other ways than just God walking through the door, sitting down to have a physical cup of tea with you. He did when Jesus was on the planet, but that was terribly limiting. And God was so restricted within flesh and bone. But now he is spirit. He can connect with you. He can connect with John on a train in London, as well as at the same time connecting with Tawanda on A&E, as well as down at John Lewis's, as well as another part of Addenbrooke's, as well as at home in Hinchinbrooke, as well as on a business park, up at Papworth. And God can suddenly meet with us all at the same time by his spirit. And he's invisible, but we can know him. God being our creator, our redeemer, that God is spirit. He's our savior. He's the King of Kings. And he is most intimately known as our Father. And as he shows up in these ways, we begin to behold the multifaceted glory of who our God is. And I would want to say this, that God is not an experience, but he can be experienced. Okay, God is not like a trippy drug that, oh, I'll go into the presence of God because I feel nice. I go because I feel good and it will be a little pick-me-up. God is not a pick-me-up drug. Okay, escapism, it's not about escapism. This is about knowing God God is not experienced, but he can be experienced. And if you just think that knowing God is just an intellectual thing, we've really missed the intimacy of being invited into a personal relationship with God. And it's, when we talk about the presence of God, some people go really misty-eyed and mystic. And it's like there's Father God, Father, you know, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the presence. It's like the fourth person of the Trinity almost. But I want to say that under the new covenant, after what Jesus has done for us, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is now the way that God is now present with you. So when you sense and feel the presence of God, that's not the fourth, and people use that terminology, that's not the fourth member of the Holy of the Godhead. That is the Holy Spirit who you are experiencing in that moment. It's him who's revealing Jesus to you, who reveals the Father to us. And he is the one who brings alive in our hearts a relationship with God. And this is why God can be so real to you, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that there is a shift going on here for him who dwells within us. In the old covenant, God lived in a building, in a temple, in a tent, and then in a building. And the loci of God's presence was in the temple. So they went up to Jerusalem to worship. And that was where the presence of God was, in the Holy of Holies. But Ezekiel, in chapter 36 and verse 26, does someone want to, Jane, could you quickly find that passage for me? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. And if someone else would like to look up John chapter 4 and verse 21 to 24 is the other passage we're going to read in the at this junction. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26.
New heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Yeah, thank you. God was saying there's a time coming where I'm going to change things, where I'm no longer going to be here, but I'm going to begin to dwell in people and people's hearts. It was a promise that was beginning to come. Has anyone got John chapter 4? Paul. Verse 21 to 24.
Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father, neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. Your worship, guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. That's up to 23.
Yeah, can we
say a bit more?
26.
Yeah, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration.
Paul, thank you. Jane and Paul, thank you very much for your confidence in reading. And we've basically, Jesus is saying himself, a time is coming when we're going to worship, not in a temple, but we're going to worship out of spirit and in truth, out of a place of what God has done in our heart. As Paul's revelation, the big news of the New Testament is this, that we have become the temples of God. God now lives in people and not in buildings. That's why we feel church is more about the people than it is about the building, because God does not live any longer in a building, although you can sense him in buildings, but it is the loci, the foci, has now moved to the heart of God residing in you. And when the veil was torn in two that we saw a couple of weeks ago, God was saying, I am breaking out from within just the Holy of Holies, and I'm coming to have a personal, real, living relationship with you. And we as charismatic believers, as Christians, believe that we can experience and know the glory and the presence of God today in our lives and in our company through in the midst of our worship, that God wants to show up. He is real, and there's the manifest presence of God. And in the Bible, we see at times there was the dedication of Solomon's temple when they were worshiping. It said they came in clean robes. They came without rank, so it wasn't a hierarchy of you're better and you're not so much better. You're the priest. You're just a skivvy. When they all came without rank, when we come to worship, we might have different roles in the church, but when we come to worship, we are all priests. We are all on the same level when we come to worship. You can meet with God just as much as Trevor. Isn't that amazing? And we are called to be priests. And we are the temples of God individually, but actually, the description of the church is being living stones being built together as a habitation for God. So I want to encourage us that when we come together in small groups, when we come together on Sundays like this, what do you expect when you walk through the door? Great coffee? Yeah, fair play. We're getting better at it. But I'm expecting more than coffee on a Sunday. I'm expecting to meet with God together. And that can happen so many ways. It can be through you having a word for me. It could be through our worship. As we're singing, we're not just singing songs and empty words. The words we use are vehicles to help us articulate our praise and our worship to God. But Jesus said, I'm looking for people that won't just run off the script. Because he said, that's not what I want. I want your heart. If every time Anna and I want to express our love together, Anna gets out the clip guard, a bit like on the flight, you know, when you get on the aeroplane flights and they give you they read through the safety instructions, like, you know, how many of them actually memorized it? Most of them are just reading it off the clipboard. And, you know, right, Anya, oh, yeah, Anya, I love you. Yeah, you've been really good to me today. Thank you. What's the next bit? Oh, yeah. That's just got no authenticity to it. I'm like, you're just reading it. I want to know what's in your heart. It's when she says something from her heart, it means something. And when we come to worship, our heart is that it means something. And, you know, sometimes between the songs we have gaps and there's a bit of playing of music in between. That's not because they're trying to work out what's the next song to sing. Or like they're just trying to get like the right bit of music up next on their iPads. That's because we create space in our worship times where we can sing our own song to God. It's a moment for us to use these times to say, God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. And you see, it has to come out of a living, ongoing revelation of God, truth, revelation of truth. If our last knowledge and experience with God was 20 years ago, yeah, we can worship God from that experience in 20 years ago. But are you living, am I living a fresh manna from God? Fresh revelation from knowing God's reality in my life through the week. That actually as I come together on a Sunday, it's a symphony of all that God's been doing and all our little collective, you know, gratitudes towards who our God is, coming out of living relationships with our Father. And that is what it means to come back to the heart of worship. And Jesus said, the prophet said, God said through the prophet, I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. And, you know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, they began to speak in these other tongues. And they then went out into the marketplace, and the people that gathered in Jerusalem from all sorts of countries heard these Galileans praying and singing praise to God in their own languages. And when they were speaking in tongues, worshiping in tongues, this gift from the Holy Spirit, they were actually worshiping God. And so worship is an overflow of our, and the Holy Spirit helps us to worship. And there's a freedom in that. And I would encourage us, you know, to be, and for me, I think the time when I was filled with the Spirit in my heart and my life, it was like there was a whole other level of worship that just kicked off in my life. It was like, God, I love you. I just begin to sense the presence of God in a fresh way in my life. And I would say that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with his power, with his presence, with his gifts, this is a gift that the Father would love to give you. And even today, we can pray for you to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with this new, with the presence of the Spirit in our lives. So how can we worship in spirit and truth? We can stop feeling like we've just got to act. We can begin to be ourselves and let it come out of revelation. It's interesting where Jesus says, you worship what you do not know, but there's a time coming that you will worship who you know. Oh God, as we get to know God, might we just know afresh that just overflow of worship to him. And also let yourself go, you know. I remember the first time I ever raised up my hand in worship. You know, I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, oh, is it that way? What's looking good? Oh yeah, that's good. I feel good with that one. But there was like so embarrassing. It's like anybody watching me, I feel really weird. But I was like, let yourself go. Just a little bit. And just say, yeah, God, I want to be fully engaged. I want to be fully engaged with you in spirit and in truth in my worship. And very lastly, as we just come to worship in this time and we come before God, I just want to ask this question. How can I be aware of God's presence in my life? I'd like to suggest that we start, maybe if you're on the first rung or you want to take your first step in this, start by knowing God's love for you. That is such a great place to start. Start by knowing God's love for you. And if you've never known God's love before, or if you've never really given your life to Jesus, I would just like to say that the Lord just wants to invite you home to him today to say, you can know my love, that you don't have to live away from me anymore, but I've died to forgive you of your sin, for you to come back into relationship with me. And we can start to know and experience God's love. 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God's love, and God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That is the most beautiful sense of intimacy, that you are loved and you can know Father's love for you unconditionally, totally accepted, totally forgiven, totally that you can be you. God loves you unconditionally. Another way of saying that is God likes you. Sometimes love gets a bit like, God likes you. He's for you. And notice that John says, so we have come to know. And this is a process of discovery. Discovering God's presence in your life. It's a journey, and we have to practice it. We have to just keep putting ourselves back in that place, saying, Lord, I want to know you. And love is both rational, but it's also emotionally felt. It's not wrong to emotionally feel, you know, someone falls in love for the first time. It's more than just a rational thought. There's so much compelling emotion in it. And that's the same with the Lord. His love can be experienced. Secondly, say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can receive a fresh sense of God's presence as we're filled with His Spirit. And I would also suggest that we practice regularly turning to God and spending time with Him. You know, it's like you can really get that intimacy when someone... my oldest child, she was always so busy. And you'd come to give her a hug and she'll be like pushing you away. Like, no, I want to get on and do this. And there were those moments, but she was always on to the next thing. She was like this little butterfly. But our youngest, when he was a little one, he was so happy just snuggling, just like get in there just and have that intimate hug. And he just loved it. And, you know, I felt like I had a connection in those moments that was different to my daughter, who was like pushing away, like, oh, I want to go on to do the next thing. And sometimes with God, we just need to let Him hug on us. We're so busy, He can't connect because we're not standing still long enough. And we're like, oh, I don't know God's presence. No, because you don't stand long enough to realize that He's trying to speak to us. And so developing that culture of turning to God, come with praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 100, come with thanksgiving and praise into His courts. Hebrews 13:5 says, draw close to God with sacrifices of praise. God inhabits the praises of His people. And we've got water here this morning, and we have to choose to come before God with a clean heart and clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24 says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can come into the presence of God? And the invitation is to come with clean hands and a pure heart. One of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit is that He's not a dove, but He's like a dove. And I don't know if you've ever tried to get close to a dove, but you can't go rah around a dove. You'll scare the thing away. Now, the Holy Spirit is not of a nervous disposition, but He does require, and He is attracted, let me say, to places of peace. And we can choose to live in peace in our hearts, free from strife, where we can create landing places in our hearts and our lives where the Spirit is just feeling like good to land, good to be. Good to rest in our hearts. And I know those times when I've got just like the presence of God is resting at peace and I'm at peace. But then cross words in relationships or strife can just begin to rob all that sense of God's presence away in our life. And that's not to say that God's abandoned you. He's still there. But that closeness of God just gets robbed away, just gets skirmished up. And I think if we want to really know the presence of God in our lives, it's about living with pure hearts, short accounts with God. And there's an impact that the presence of God will have on your life. Moses would leave the presence of God and his face would be shining and glowing. Now, I've never had that yet, but I do sometimes come away from a time with God with more of a smile on my face than I did before. And the presence of God is transformational. It's renewing, it's energizing. Now again, we don't worship and come close to God so that we can get energized, but as we do, you will become energized. You will afresh take on beginning of the likeness of our Father. As you spend time with God, you get a deposit of His character, a deposit of His thinking, a deposit of His perspective as we spend time with Him, both collectively and also when we spend time with God alone. Psalm 16:11 says this, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And as we spend time with God, He will show you the paths to go in your life. He'll just start dropping ideas, inspired things into your thinking, into your heart. But there's also joy in that place. And I don't know about you, but when I hear someone laughing, I often start laughing. It's infectious. God's presence is in his character is infectious when we spend time with him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so we're going to take some moments now to come before God in worship. We've got half an hour. Well, we just want to say, can we create space here to say, Lord, we want to come to pursue you. We are here for you. And maybe you feel that you are away from him, that you haven't felt the presence of God, maybe for a long time in your own heart. And like it said in Ezekiel, God said, I'll turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And this morning you're just saying, God, I've just become hardened. And you know those onions, you know when you get an onion, it's all kind of like on the outer layers, they're all kind of crusted up and dry and flaky. And so before you can really prepare it, you had to clear away the layers. And then you're looking for that shiny, fresh layer on that onion when you kind of get the aroma of the onion and get the real reality. Well, the Lord is just calling us today. Look, just shed some of those outer layers that have just got encrusted about religion and other stuff. And make a choice today to say, God, I want to come afresh before you. And Psalm 24 says, who may climb the mountain of the Lord, as it were, to come and meet with him? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols, who never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship you in your presence, O God of Jacob. And this morning, we've actually just got some bowls of water here. There's nothing holy, there's nothing magic about this water, but it is an action that I'd invite us to do, to say, Lord, if there are things that you feel idols, things that have got between you and God, this morning you say, God, I'm sorry. God, I've been making other things more important than you in my life. And this morning I want to come and make you my number one afresh. There's things I need to ask you for forgiveness for. I just want to just come with clean hands. Or anyway, just clean your hands of the stuff of life. And say, Lord, this morning we want to come and meet with you and worship you. We've also got the offering baskets here as well. I just thought this would be a great moment to come and bring our offering to God as well. Say, Lord, we just give you the essence of our lives. We come and bring this to you this morning. So let's just stand together, because I'd like to give an invitation. John, if we could just have the next slide, the salvation prayer up. God has got an imprint that he wants to make on your life this morning. Like the steps in the sand leave a track. Where God has been in our lives, he leaves an indent. And I want to give the opportunity this morning that if you're saying, Tim, I have never given my life to Jesus, and I want to make a first step. Oh God, I want to know this love that you've got for me. I want to experience and know you for myself. Then this morning, you can come home to God. You can give your life to Jesus today. And we're going to pray a prayer together. And I'd invite you to pray this prayer, maybe for the first time in your own heart, or just in as a whisper under your lips, as a response, as an invitation to God. Say, God, I give you my life. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, let's pray this together. I come to you today and confess that I need you. Please come into my life and forgive me for all my sins. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. Today, I open my life to you, and I'm now your child. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that for the first time, at the end of the service, I'd love to invite you to come and seek me out and say, Tim, I prayed that, and I'd like to tell you more about that beginning a new life with Christ. But beyond that, I'd like to invite us to come as Trevor leads us to worship. You might feel restricted by your chair. You may want to go and stand at the back, but we're just going to create space now to come and worship. And as our first act, if you would resonate with this and say this morning, Lord, I want to come and do something physical. Come on, wash your hands and say, Lord, I come with a pure heart before you today as we enter into worship with you. Let's come to worship and spend time with Father and to glorify his name together.